This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Michigan State putting it on the men of Troy. 46-26. Michigan State with the lead over USC at the under 16 media timeout in the second half. Our game of the night, Matt, the FCS National Championship. Montana State, 10.5-point favorites. They lead 28-14 right now. Critical third down upcoming for the Redbirds of Illinois State. Live total sits at 56.5, so hovering around that big number. Matt, you mentioned a tease, and I imagine everybody in their cars across the nation on SiriusXM Channel 158.
Don't drive off the road.
And so many of our great radio affiliates were wondering what that tease was in regards to, Matt Eumanns.
Yeah, don't drive off the road when I report this, but how about the score out of OKC tonight? The Charlotte Hornets. Tim, we have a win total on the Hornets.
Our Charlotte Hornets.
We did not anticipate picking up this win tonight. And I'm not even afraid of jinxing it at this point because this is such a blowout. This is one of the most surprising results of the NBA season so far. Charlotte Hornets 101, OKC Thunder 73. Tim, and I don't know.
16-point underdogs.
16-point dogs up by 30 just a moment ago in the fourth quarter. And what has happened here to the OKC Thunder? Is this the demise of the OKC dynasty just like this?
It's over.
I mean, OKC went 24-1 in the first 25 games this season. We're talking about this could be a 71 team, no doubt about it. Just how many games in the 70s will they win?
I know our buddy Will Hill has a bet on them to break the record. Yeah. I don't think he's feeling great about that right now.
How about this? Since a 24-1 start by the Thunder, 6-6 in the last 12 games.
Bums.
After tonight's loss. And like you said, number close 16 here at Circa. And 101-75 is the score with 9.5 minutes to go.
JVT tweeted out, at halftime, the Hornets, who were up 17, Matt, we're only -135 on the money line.
Did he bet it?
I don't know. He just tweeted out, Hornets only -$1.35 to win up 17 on the Thunder at halftime. LOL, which means laughing out loud.
I just want to know if he bet it.
I don't know. I could ask him.
That's one thing to tweet it. Did you
JVT,
bet it?
JVT, did you bet it? He also has a win total over on the Hornets, so maybe he's just sitting back and enjoying an unexpected victory for our win total. They got one over the weekend, too. They beat the Bulls. They also lost to Giannis and the Bucks on, I think, Friday night. So this would be a nice one for the win total. Matt Eumanns, we got the college football playoff semifinals coming up Thursday and Friday down in Glendale, Arizona. On Thursday, it'll be Miami versus Ole Miss, Indiana versus Oregon on Friday night. And Joel Klatz of Fox Sports, he's been talking a lot lately. I know he's got a podcast. He's, you know, notable personality. I feel like the takes have been flying from Mr. Klatt as of lately. And he's got one regarding the Indiana Hoosiers.
You get the sense that there's like this, anyone can win this national championship. My goodness, we didn't know any of these teams would be here. Listen, if this Indiana team had any other logo next to their name, and by the way, I'm going to beat you to the comments down below, and please go ahead and comment, and I'll have to jump down there as well. I know that I'm guilty of this as well, because I talked glowingly all year, now granted about Indiana, but yes, about Ohio State. And if this was Ohio State's logo next to this resume, next to this team in Indiana, if this was an Alabama logo, a Georgia logo next to this team, we would all be talking about, is this the best team that we've ever seen in college football? Because no team in the history of our sport has ever been able to go 16-0. Now, granted, that's a scheduling thing, but this team has a chance to do that. This team defensively has been one of the great defenses that we've seen in a long time. And again, I'm part of this. I know that I've overlooked Indiana to an extent during the course of this season, but not anymore. And no, this is not a wide open playoff. These two teams, Indiana and Oregon, are the odds on favorite by a wide margin.
Okay.
Stop with the odds on favorite.
They're not. Neither one are odds on.
This guy, how many times are you going to make that mistake?
I actually appreciated the recognizing that he was part of the problem. I disagree. I think Indiana, after the Rose Bowl and after the Ohio State win, have been getting the proper credit they deserve.
He's late to the party.
And yeah. I got to ask you this question, Matt. And I don't know which way you're going to bet. I have a gut feel of maybe you're looking at Oregon. We'll know more tomorrow when you and I record the podcast. But is it starting to feel to you a little bit like everybody is on the Indiana is not going to lose train? This is the team of destiny. Kurt Cignetti, he's the face. Fernando Mendoza, the gee golly shucks Heisman Trophy winner, right? Right now at DraftKings, and it's early, plenty more bets will still come. 79% of the early action is on the Indiana
Not a
Hoosiers.
Good sign. Not
it
a good
does,
sign.
To me, it feels like after their absolute ass whooping of Bama, doesn't it feel like the general public believes that this Indiana team cannot be beaten at this point?
Well, the same people who were saying that they were betting Alabama against Indiana are now jumping on the Indiana bandwagon. And that's a dangerous thing in the betting market when you see that, because, Tim, you know I've been on the bandwagon for Indiana the whole season. I played the Hoosiers over 8.5. I said, how many times did I tell you I was taking the points against Ohio State when Indiana played Ohio State, right?
Huh? All week and money line.
All year.
Yeah.
And I thought Ohio State was overrated the entire season. Indiana is not. Kurt Cignetti's that good. This guy reminds me of Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs. He does. He's like, he's a psycho. I don't know if we need the sound effects.
No, you don't want those.
But Hannibal Lecter could lead this team to a championship, no doubt about it. I think there are a lot of people, but too many people have been too slow to recognize how great Cignetti is. And if you didn't recognize it last year or at some point in this season, now you're just finally jumping on the bandwagon. You're a little bit late to the party. You could say, well, you're never too late if the Hoosiers win the next two games, and that could be true. But I'm typically one who likes to be on a bandwagon when it's not full, but when it fills up, I'll probably look to jump off. And this bandwagon is overflowing right now. Hoosiers beat Alabama 38-3. Everybody watches it on New Year's Day.
Everybody's, 23 million watched
right.
it.
Right. Everybody's blowing smoke up their butts now, as Kurt Cignetti says. And that's a dangerous thing, because when a team starts to get overhyped, then you want to look at the other side. And this is a revenge angle, too, because Indiana won the first game in Oregon. And I was on the Hoosiers in that first matchup at Oregon, but they were catching 7.5. Now they're going to be laying 3.5 or 4. And I respect this Oregon coaching staff quite a bit. Dan Lanning, his two coordinators are really great young coordinators. Tosh LePoy is taking over at Cal, right? Mm-hmm. And
Will Stein going to Kentucky.
Going to Kentucky. And this young coaching staff at Oregon is really, really good. So Kurt Cignetti's not going to outclass these guys necessarily like he did the Alabama staff. And I thought the Crimson Tide staff looked pretty clueless. In the SEC championship game, they got lucky against Oklahoma in the playoff because the Sooners imploded. But I think that this is going to be a tight game. And every team on the way to a championship game is going to have to sweat one out somewhere. And I think the winner of this game is going to be your national champ. Oregon-Indiana winner is going to be your national champ. And I think the Hoosiers probably find a way to win by 3, but it's not going to surprise me if they lose.
Quick update, touchdown Illinois State. The
Redbirds will not go away.
They will not. It is a 4th-and-1 conversion, a 4-yard touchdown to the corner, Matt. 28-20 extra point pending. These Redbirds, these feisty Redbirds, will not go away. Long, sustained drives.
8-minute drive, that's what you need, too. 8-minute drive to keep your defense off the field and rested, right?
Yep. Live total now up to 58.5, and the spread down to 7.5. So right now, the dog is in decent shape to cover and maybe win.
Hey, if Illinois State can pull off a 14-point comeback at North Dakota State, why can't they pull it off tonight?
By the way, we have seen pictures of the crowd down there in Nashville. Very strong crowd. We heard about the Montana State fans, but Illinois State fans down there as well. Very strong showing down there. I think over 26,000 in attendance.
Oh, you can make an argument this is the best game played in that stadium all football season.
Come on, there's The Music City Bowl was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was a pretty good bowl game. Definitely better than any NFL game that was played in that stadium.
So, Matt, when this game, when we saw this, the first bet I made, and we talked about it on primetime last week, I took under 47.5. Probably still will give it out tomorrow on the podcast at 46.5. I like the first half under as well. I have not bet the side yet. We saw some money come in on Oregon today. Fours got scooped up. I do think if you like Oregon, I would be patient. Game's not till Friday. You're going to get a lot of public money coming in.
Four's going to come back.
Yeah, so I have not bet the side yet. I do think Oregon, I mean, it was clear that the power rating was off. When these two teams played in October,
sure,
Indiana shouldn't have been a 7.5-point underdog at Oregon. But now, has the number gone too far? Should it really be over a full field goal on a neutral? We'll find out on Friday. But right now, my gut would tell me Oregon, but I haven't bet it yet. But yeah, it does feel like the Indiana Hoosier bandwagon is it is loaded up right now.
It's overflowing. I did make a little bet on Oregon +4 before the weekend, but I left the door open to bet more on this game. I might play some Indiana money line. Who knows if I get a little bit nervous. But I've got Oregon 8-1 to win the whole thing. I've got Indiana 10-1. I was hoping they would be on opposite sides of the bracket. Unfortunately, they meet up in the semis, but I will have one team live no matter what. Those are pretty good shape with those two futures. But I feel like, Tim, the team that wins this game wins it all.
We'll see if Montana State can win it all as they are up by a touchdown getting the ball back. We'll update you on what's unfolding and also how did VSIN Primetime fare in the futures draft prior to the season on VSIN?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime, and boy, we got ourselves a pretty good one down there in Nashville, Tennessee. The Illinois State Cinderella Kids. They were down 21-7 at halftime. Live line was up around 20.5, and the Redbirds just keep on fighting, Matt. And Montana State just called for another false start. 9:12 to go. It is 3rd and 12. The Bobcats. Could they be stunned by Illinois State? Could we get another 29-28 stunner by Illinois State as they were 10.5-point underdogs? And right now it is a 28-21 game. And we get a big third down. Ooh, and Lamson overshot his receiver. He had him. And now, Matt, Montana State going to punt the ball back. Ooh, buddy.
So Illinois State team's been a great story. And 9-0 on the road against 1AA opponents this season. This would be 10-0 away from home if they could pull this off. And it'd be a lot to pull off. This Montana State team's looked really impressive tonight.
It was a penalty. I don't know who it was on.
Offsides. The penalty's on Illinois State. So 3rd and 7, going to get another shot here for Montana State's offense. Live number 6.5, total 58.5. So total has not moved much since kickoff tonight.
I would think if it's still at 6.5, Matt, I don't know if Montana State's going to get this 3rd and 7 here. So, yeah, they're going to come up short. Illinois State's going to get the ball back. 4th and 7 now. Illinois State, man, this would be quite the stunning comeback. Down 14 against Montana State.
14, it looked like the game might get out of hand. Illinois State brought the corner blitz there on Justin Lampson's blind side. He didn't see it. He had to get the ball away quickly and incomplete. Going to have to punt. Illinois State's definitely live here. Remember when I said the money line was, didn't I say Montana State was minus 15,000 or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Well, now it's minus 600.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a small future on Montana State, and I'm debating whether or not I should get off of it a little bit with some Illinois State money line here. So we'll see. Very short punt, and Illinois State has had long sustained drives, and we'll see if Montana State, Matt, has got some gas in the tank there for their defense. Illinois State, team who lost by 30 in their regular season finale, has now got an opportunity. Absolutely. Maybe this is what the committee was thinking. When they saw Alabama lose by 21 to Georgia, they thought it would be like Illinois State and they could make a run. You know, maybe that was the case.
Update in Big Ten basketball, Michigan State, which closed a, 12 or 12 and a half point favorite here at Circa tonight. There was some late steam on the Spartans, a little bit anyway. They are up 25, 58-33, 11 minutes to go in East Lansing.
In Oklahoma City, the Thunder went off as 16.5 point favorites, down 117-90 with 3 minutes to go against the Charlotte Hornets. Wow, what a stunning result there. Matt, prior to the NFL season, our bosses came up with a pretty unique idea.
One boss.
It was Steve Cohen. Our main boss.
I don't think the other bosses had anything to do with it, from what I understand. Steve Cohen came up with the rules and the idea for the whole contest, right?
You seem to know, you have more confidence about that than I do. So I'll give Mr. Cohen the credit.
I just know that Bill Ady told me I didn't have anything to do with it. Because I complained about the rules. I thought the rules needed to be tweaked a little bit.
Well, Dustin Sweetelson was the man in charge of moderating it, and we had 10 of us, 10 hosts at VSiN, were a part of this futures draft before the start of the NFL season, Matt. And here are the final results, and a decent showing for your two hosts of VSiN Primetime. Matt Eumanns finished second. I finished third. Matt was up $755. I was up $130. Patrick Maher, though, gets the victory because of his long bomb on Jonathan Taylor to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns.
And I think that should say Patrick Maher / Dustin Sweetelson. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this on the air, but I don't care. Dustin told me last week that he gave Patrick the Jonathan Taylor prop.
Oh.
He told him to bet a 13-1 on most rushing touchdowns. If that's the case, Dustin deserves some credit here, too, because that one long shot hit is what won the contest for Patrick and overtook me. I went 6-4 on the futures. Ironically, Tim, I hate player props, and I went 0-4 on player props, and I won all six of my division and win total bets. I didn't think we should have been forced to pick that many player props, and I also thought that we should take the best number available from DraftKings or Circa Sportsbooks. And, you know, maybe Steve Cohen will tweak the rules a little bit next season. I think you should allow handicappers to pick to their strengths, right? Okay, if you say you have to pick one player prop, one win total, one division, then you can pick anything else you want. I just didn't want to pick that many player props. So I think the lesson you can take away from it here is don't be afraid to take a shot on some long shot player props. Dave Ross almost won this contest with Dak Prescott leading the NFL in passing yards.
That was his first pick at plus 850. And if you watched it, I actually had a reaction like this because that was going to be my first pick, Matt.
Really?
I was going to select that. I thought that was a really good bet. And, of course, Super Dave, who lost a lot of his bets on Dallas Cowboys, you know, Cowboys over 8.5, loser. Cowboys to win the NFC East, loser. But
Cowboys win the Super Bowl. No, I didn't play that one.
But that all being said, it was a great first selection by him. Dak Prescott did lead.
So going into Sunday, Dak had, I think, a 40-yard lead on Matthew Stafford for the passing yards. And if David hit that, I believe he would have won the contest. Dak, I texted Dave at halftime yesterday, and I said, I think it's time for the Cowboys to sit Dak and see what they got in this young backup. I was joking. And Dave and Super Dave said, no, we don't need that. And that's what the Cowboys did. Cowboys have never had a quarterback lead the NFL in passing yards. And I thought they might let Dak make a run at that yesterday. Tim, he didn't play the second half.
Bad beat.
Stafford blows by him, leads the NFL in passing yards. I needed Derrick Henry to get two rushing touchdowns last night for Patrick not to win that prop. He would have had to split the prop on Jonathan Taylor. But Henry did not get a touchdown last night. But you know, props to Dustin and Patrick. That's a smart play on Jonathan Taylor at 13-1. You hit a big play like that, you can win a contest. And I think next year you're going to see a lot more, you know, if we do this again, you're going to see more people taking a shot on props like that because, You know, if you go 1-4 on props like that, who cares? If you had a 12-1 shot, that's worth it. All right, Tim, what did you have? Did we see all of your plays yet?
No, I don't think so. So my first pick was the Jaguars to win the AFC South.
And that was going to be Dak Prescott, right?
That was going to be Dak Prescott. Well, so I guess it was better that I picked the Jags because that was a bad beat that Dak Prescott ended up third.
And you got a 3-1 winner.
And I got a 3-1 winner there on the Jaguars. Ja'Marr Chase to lead the NFL in receiving yards was my second selection at 6-1. He finished fourth. And Joe Burrow's injury had a little bit to do with that. But I did come back and I bet under the Bengals, 9.5 wins. That came home. I was going to pick the Packers to win the NFC North, but Paulie had selected that. So I picked the Vikings instead. They both were losers. Dak Prescott over 4,000 yards was even money. Jaguars over 8.5 wins, a little correlated play there, plus 140. Niners over 10.5 wins. You were allowed to pick alt win totals, plus 110. The Eagles under 11.5 wins. I believe that did get there because of yesterday's loss. Yeah. So the Washington Commanders helped me out there, Matt. And then my final two plays were both losers. Breece Hall actually had a really good season. I bet under 9.5 rushing yards there. And Brock Bowers to be the receptions leader, that did not come home. So,
how'd you go? 5-5 or what?
What is that? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 5-5 with a 3-1 shot. And the Jaguars really helped me out. 3-1 and plus 140 were the two big plays for me on the Jaguars. So decent job by the primetime team.
After the break, we'll take a look at mine and take a look at the standings. Right now, I think we need to update what's happening in our game of the night. Tim, the Illinois State Redbirds are live here. Look at this.
This is unbelievable. Inside. Touchdown.
That's a touchdown. Inside the 5, pay dirt. Redbirds are going to tie this game with 5.5 minutes to go. How about this comeback by Illinois State? Tim, it's not the first time Illinois State's made a comeback like this.
No, it is not, Matt. They were down on the road at the Fargo Dome, and the Illinois State Redbirds.
14 points in the last, what?
I believe so. Went for two and went 129-28. So somewhere Big Randy McKay is very happy with this comeback from the Redbirds.
It is the magic of Big Randy McKay.
28-27, extra point is about to be attempted. Maybe it's the magic of Stormy on the sideline. Mm-hmm. She is getting quite the game to wrap up her season on ESPN.
What a game.
Whew, 28 all. We picked a good one to be our primetime game of the night. Matt, do you have the live line up in front of you?
I do. It's Montana State, 2.5-point favorite. The money line now down to minus 220. Live total 62.5. That's all at DraftKings. Kenny White in the Circa Friday Football Invitational played Illinois State plus 10. However, he's going to have a loser here. He played under 56, and we're sitting on 56 with 5 minutes to go.
Do you take the Redbirds at plus 170 to pull the shocker, or does Montana State get it home? We'll
hopefully
find out.
If you bet the Redbirds live, you played them at a much better number.
20-1.
20 or 30 minutes ago.
20.5 was the number. What a game down in Nashville. Dylan Lord with 116 receiving yards.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, I wish we could clip off when you mentioned what the live number was when Montana State led this game 28-14. Montana State has completely fallen off. Illinois State has risen up. The feisty bunch of Redbirds, and it is now 28-28, a punt back to Illinois State. And let's see how the punt return is. I felt like the live line got maybe a little too aggressive here. It is minus 220 on Illinois State.
That has a lot to do with the clock. You got 3 minutes left, and Montana State might not get the ball back, right?
And they have shown no ability to really slow them down. And, man, this is quite the fall from grace for Montana State. Taco Dowdle was just leaping into the end zone. Is it Dowdle? Is that his last name?
Taco Dower.
Dower. And Rico Dowdle in my mind. Man, 28-28, 3:09 to go. This game has turned out to be quite the contest.
You got to know these guys' names. They're going to be playing in big D1 games next season. Justin Lamson, Taco Dower. Let's see what Illinois State can do here. Starts the possession on its own 33. First play is a running play for about 2 or 3 yards. Trying to run some clock here, obviously, too. So hoping to get a decent gain and also run clock. So I don't have a problem with that play. You don't want to leave much time for this Montana State offense if you can't establish a drive. Tim, you mentioned you dropped it in there that you had a Montana State future.
I did.
Did you play Illinois State when this number got inflated live? Did you take something on the other side with Illinois State?
Sure didn't. Felt like this was one of those situations where had a winner, why mess around with it? And too little too late now. And now sweating it out, hoping that Montana State can assemble up some defense here. But
oh, boy, look at this.
It is looking like Illinois State, honestly.
Redbirds
are going to win their first ever national championship. What a comeback. And think about the live numbers you could have got.
This is actually a stunning turnaround. I believe at one point the money line on Montana State was minus 15,000. Isn't that what I mentioned?
I think it was.
When it was 21-7 or 28-14.
Montana State's defense has just gone absent, Matt.
Well, and the offense, which looked unstoppable at the end of the first half, has not done much here in the second half. This is a really, really surprising turnaround in this game. And look at the Montana State coach. He can't believe what he's seeing out here.
I mean, this was a game where Montana State drove the length of the field in 36 seconds before the end of the first half to go up 21-7. It kind of felt like that might have been the nail in the coffin. Montana State received the ball to start the second half. But this Illinois State, all throughout this FCS run, has been just magical, really has been, Matt. So Illinois State now, I would imagine, is a enormous favorite on the live line, minus $5 on the live line, Matt.
Let's get back to the VSiN NFL Futures Draft before the season. Our producer, Corey York. Corey's back from Cleveland. He said it was a bucket list item for him to see Kevin Stefanski coaching a game before he was done with the Browns, and he wanted to see Myles Garrett set the sack record. Garrett did set the sack record, but he did it in Cincinnati yesterday. By the way, Tim, did you have a bit of a problem with the way Joe Burrow just fell down for Garrett or not?
I mean, Garrett probably would have had a good chance to get him anyways. I didn't have that. I mean, Brett Favre did it for Michael Strahan. I thought Brett Favre did it even worse. He rolled out to Strahan and fell in front of him.
The Favre deal was worse.
Garrett did beat the tackle.
That really hurt Mark Gastineau's feelings, by the way.
By the way, Phil on Twitter lets us know Montana State was minus 7,000. He saw when it was 28-14. It might have been higher too. Unbelievable. This is
all right. So the rules for the VSiN NFL Futures Draft: select 4 win totals. You had to have 2 over and 2 under. I would drop the restrictions here. I'd let people pick whatever they want. 2 division winners, 2 player props, and a couple of season stat leaders. Like I said, maybe just require 1 selection from each category, and after that, pick whatever you want. I don't like putting restrictions on what the handicappers are. Say you have to pick this, you have to pick that. Let people handicap to their strengths. Anyway, good idea for the contest by Steve Cohen. I thought it went off well. Some glitches in the way Dustin Sweetelson moderated the contest. He could have done better. but let's look at the standings here, the final standings. And Patrick Maher on top on the strength of that Jonathan Taylor. Most rushing touchdowns, 13-1. Nice job, especially if Dustin tipped him off on that. But give them both credit. That was enough to win the contest. I finished 2nd, plus 755, went 6-4. Tim, you're 3rd. So VSiN Primetime, well represented. Our buddy, Super Dave Ross, could have won the contest. Dak Prescott did not sit out the second half yesterday.
Dave got a little too big for his britches. You know, went on his morning show talking about how he was going to win it, and he mushed himself.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So,
I think a lot of Montana State bettors probably know the feeling about this game was locked up. Jensen Lewis finished out. First, another thing is you can't sugarcoat a turd.
You can't?
No. Well, you don't want to. It's a bad idea. We had a lot of handicappers who did not fare well in this contest. We had 4 in plus money and 6 negative. Jensen Lewis, 5th. Stormy, 6th. JVT, Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, and Gill. Rounding it out with Gill just edging Paulie for 10th. Gill finishes last. You know, when you're in a contest like this, first of all, you don't want to embarrass yourself. And then you want to do as well as possible. You want to win as many games. Or as many plays as possible to get in the plus side. And we only had 4 handicappers in the plus side. But I actually think most people are going to learn some lessons from this and do better next season in general. And hopefully we do it again. Great idea for this. And
you know, I'm going to do this. Do Corey, can you send me this graphic?
I think we did this about a week before the season started, right? Yeah. Late August.
I want to make sure Dave is aware of that he didn't win.
He's aware.
And
he texted me at 6:30 this morning about
that he was behind the duo, the dynamic duo of Visa and Primetime. He was asking, he was talking on the morning show about getting a free dinner at Barry's. He doesn't even live in Vegas anymore. So it was a little weird.
Was he taking that leap? He thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So maybe we can, we should play the clip. By the way, we got a third down upcoming. Illinois State being very conservative here. And Montana State's going to use their timeouts. We saw they're capable of scoring.
Not over yet.
Yeah, so we will see. First down wins it, it would seem, for Illinois State. But we will see how this one plays out. Matt, go through your plays. You had a couple of big ones.
Quickly go through the plays. Again, I went 0-4 on the player props, 6-0 on the win totals in divisions. Joe Burrow killed me right off the bat. I'm not a Joe Burrow fan anymore. I can't stand the guy after watching him play with his hair in the press conference yesterday.
I thought you would have liked that, man.
Just make him a Kardashian sister at this point. Burrow, passing yards leader. Burrow.
Not as rich as them.
Passing TD leader. I lost both those right off the bat. So 0-2 out of the gate, but finished 6-2 on the rest. Broncos to win the AFC West, plus 275. At the time, Circa had that, I believe, at plus 325 or plus 350. Browns under 5.5 wins. Broncos over 9.5. Steelers over 8.5. Patriots to win the AFC East at a 5-1 odds, and Chiefs under 11.5 wins. That was my. How about those round 9 and 10 picks? Patriots to win the division. Chiefs.
Quick
under
update, real
11
quick.
And a half. All right.
The quarterback for Illinois State is a yard shy of a first down. Why is Montana State not calling timeout?
Oh, well, they should call timeout.
What are you doing?
Illinois State's not going to go for it here.
Oh my gosh!
She's going to allow Illinois State to run 35 seconds off the clock.
What is he doing? How are you not calling timeout? They have a timeout left. Wow.
Montana State's going to get the ball back with about a minute to go and a timeout. I guess he wants to save the timeout for his offense. But you can't let 35 seconds
this
run
is
off
idiotic.
The clock
here. Why is Montana State not calling a timeout? Illinois State's going to kick the field goal. They're not going to risk a national championship on a 4th-and-1. That is a boneheaded decision by Montana State's head coach. You'd have 90 seconds to drive the field. Now you have 60.
I don't know.
Hey, you got an extra timeout.
Big mistake.
Maybe he was watching the Ravens last night. He was like, wow, that John Harbaugh, he really knows what he's doing with clock
management.
There are a
lot of, hey, look, there's so many NFL head coaches who are clueless when it comes to game and clock management. So I don't think you could be shocked that an FCS coach hasn't mastered this. But he should have called timeout right there because you just let another 35 seconds run off the clock. You can control the clock with your offense, spiking the ball, whatever it might be, getting out of bounds. You have no control here when you just let the thing run for 35 seconds and don't use the timeout. That was a mistake. So, but I will say this, Montana State's not dead yet.
No, they're not.
So it's going to be a field goal attempt. It's going to be obviously I don't want to jinx a kid. We saw what happened last night with the Ravens. So nothing's a gimme. In this spot, it's going to be a 38-yard attempt, right?
Yeah.
38-yard field goal attempt with 1:04 to go. It's not a gimme. They're on the right hash mark, right-footed kicker.
Chris Boswell miss a
extra point.
Oh, it's blocked. Oh, my goodness. It is blocked. It is picked up by Montana State. Holy smokes, Matt. Montana State blocks the field goal.
How long did it take Illinois State to get that kickoff?
Oh,
it was like slow motion.
Gosh. This game is
definitely
deserving of our VSiN primetime game
of the
night.
This is like Ravens Steelers last night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, this game is something. That is for sure. Montana State, Illinois State, as we went to break, Montana State blocked a Illinois State game-winning field goal attempt, returned it a handful of yards, and now their offense did absolutely nothing. And Illinois State is going to field a punt inside their own 15-yard line. We're going to head to overtime in the national championship game.
How great is this game tonight? When it looked like Montana State was going to pull away, win this game, and not have to sweat it, and now we're going to be headed to overtime. Imagine if we get a game like this in the college football playoff championship or between Indiana and Oregon.
Just hope that this great game doesn't get determined by a two-point conversion off in the third overtime. So we will see. Illinois State trying to win their first ever national championship in program history, and Montana State, despite the recent success, has not won a title since 1984, Matt. So a handoff here. This should do it for regulation and overtime down in Nashville. What a game. Great crowd on hand. Both fan bases showed out well, and we've got a national championship going to overtime in Nashville, Tennessee. Final seconds ticking off. Michigan State, an easy win and cover over USC, Matt, as the Spartans bounce back after their loss on Friday night to Nebraska as they beat USC 80-51. So both ranked teams in action tonight, win and cover tonight, as Nebraska went off as a 2.5-point underdog at Ohio State, battled through that one, ultimately pulled it out 72-69, and now Michigan State wins big here over USC.
Tough road trip for Eric Musselman, right? Takes a 30-point loss at Michigan. And what did they lose by tonight?
29?
And USC a little bit shorthanded, so it's not that big a deal. You're catching the hottest team in college basketball, best team in college hoops in Ann Arbor, and then you're catching Tom Izzo off a loss. You talk about bad timing.
Not ideal. Earlier tonight, we had the professor, Aaron Moore, on, and he had a best bet for tomorrow night's Texas Tech-Houston game, Matt. He likes over the total. He betted at over 140.5. It looks like Caesars has a 141. 141.5s are out there. So those were that was the best bet for tomorrow from our guy, Aaron Moore. Hey, just a reminder, before the line moves, the sharp plays already there. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. The NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Since 2011, the folks over at Sharp Plays have backed it all up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Visit SharpPlays.com. Matt, looking ahead to tomorrow.
I'm just going to make one quick comment.
Yeah.
At the end of regulation there, there's what, 12 seconds left?
Mm-hmm.
Why did Illinois State even run a play?
They shouldn't have.
If you run a play there and you fumble.
Yep.
So you talk about the risk-reward factor. What's the reward of running the ball up the middle?
They had zero timeouts.
Right.
So the risk was you fumble.
The reward is nothing.
Nothing.
He's not going to take it 90 yards to the house, right?
No.
So why are you running a play?
I had a couple of questions, I would say, regarding coaching staffs. The decision not to call timeout was a bizarre one, a peculiar one, if you will. And yeah, that decision right there, we are headed to overtime. And as you would imagine, it is essentially a pick 'em. Montana State is -$1.25 right now at DraftKings.
Well, Montana State going in as a 10-point favorite tonight. It's got to be the favorite going to overtime. But I saw -154 just a second ago, now 125. So it must be Illinois State taking a little bit of money at DK. What do you think?
Yeah. We will see how this all ultimately plays out.
Kenny White played under 56 in the Friday night contest, and it sits on 56 going to overtime. He also played Illinois State +10. So you got one winner, one loser right there. Randy McKay on the dog tonight. Were you in that night we had Randy on the show?
No.
Okay. It was, I think you were away on a bowl game, right?
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah. Randy was in studio that night, and it was probably 10 days, 2 weeks ago. He liked Illinois State right away. He said too many points in this game tonight. So pay attention to Big Randy when he talks FCS. Got the coin flip, headed to overtime in Nashville. Looks like the stadium's packed, doesn't it?
Close, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the soccer stadium down there.
Oh, that's not the Titans stadium?
No, because that is a that's a smaller stadium that's almost filled to capacity.
Okay. First, it's called First Bank Stadium.
It's been.
I don't know what any of these stadiums are called. They change the name of the stadiums all the time, but the Titans Stadium sits right on the river downtown Nashville.
They got a new stadium coming, right?
And they have a new stadium coming. Well, I mean, Tim, when you have a team that great, you got fans just dying to watch the Titans play every week, you got to build a bigger, nicer stadium.
You were just down in Nashville not too long ago.
Broadway in Nashville is a great place to be. I told you, we're trying to take VSIN primetime on the road in March for the SEC tournament. We'll see if we can pull that off.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Man, Montana State, golden opportunity, and the offense is just kind of
what's happened to this
melted
offense?
Down. They've had, I think, 8 false starts in this game, man.
Unlike the Notre Dame-Alabama national championship game a while back.
Thank you.
When one team obviously did not deserve to be there that
the only national championship blowout, right, we've had in the past couple of decades. Come you on, have to bring that one up.
Don't be thin-skinned. We're seeing why the Redbirds got to this game.
I'm traumatized right now. Notre Dame can't get anyone in the damn portal, you know?
Well, I'm not going to lie. That night, I thought the Irish could hang. I did not think they were going to beat Alabama.
Illinois State.
Look at Illinois
First
State.
Play,
15
just
15-yard pass over the middle. What year was that, Alabama-Notre Dame?
It was January of 2013. Okay. So it was a 2012 season.
I think Alabama was, what, a 14-point favorite?
I thought it was a little less than that. I know it was double digits. I thought it was under 2 touchdowns. I don't know what it closed at, but whatever it did.
It was 28-0 at halftime.
It
right?
was whatever you laid, you got it.
Yeah. I think it was 28-0 at halftime, and I thought, if Alabama wants to win this game 56-0 or whatever, Alabama can win 56-0. Nick Saban kind of took it easy on the Irish. Final was 42-14.
Touchdown, right? Illinois State. Redbirds. 2 plays and a touchdown.
Wow. How about this?
I thought Illinois State, from what we had watched, probably should have been the slight favorite. And 2 plays into overtime, they score, Matt. This game has flipped just like that now. Look, it's overtime. Crazy things can happen. Illinois State can kick an extra point here in the second overtime if we get there. Obviously, they'd have to go for 2, Matt. Man, this has been a fantastic game. Dylan Lord, 13 catches. Oh, my gosh, Matt. The extra point is blocked. And a face mask. Now, I'm curious here.
Yep.
A face mask. Did they get the ball at the 15-yard line?
Might get it at the 10.
Wow.
Right.
Back-to-back kicks blocked, Matt.
So the first field goal attempt, the snap was low, and the holder kind of fumbled the snap a little bit. So, but I'm not sure what happened there. That kick had no shot. It was blocked on the tackle, which the guy did the right thing. You cannot let him run that back. He grabs his face mask to bring him down. Is that going to be a 15-yard penalty here?
I believe it will be, and I think it should start their possession of overtime. So they're going to get the ball. Oh, no, they decline it. So it can't carry over.
Oh, it should be able to carry over. Why not?
I would think it would based off of, you know, what we've seen. And, you know, if that happened, the kickoff would have been at the 20-yard line, right? So I'm surprised. Man.
There's still another little mistake with the holder fidgeting with the ball.
Yeah, the holder did a smart thing, though, to your point. He just, whatever, grab him by the face mask.
Throw him down.
And now Montana State has a chance to win this game. Can Illinois State's defense, Matt, which has been playing better, get the stop? Man, this has been
what a game tonight.
A really fun game to watch.
Yeah, it seems like a long time since we've seen a game decided by missed kicks. Oh, 24 hours ago. How about that Steelers-Ravens finish last night? Chris Boswell never misses an extra
point. That kick just up and whoop, just completely pulled by the wind. Now Montana State, Matt, a chance to win a national championship here. They need 1 score and an extra point in their first play. Wow. They gave it to Taco. Taco lowering his shoulder. And we will actually, no, that wasn't
that was,
Taco.
That was Davis.
Oh, I was hoping Taco would get the touchdown there. Montana State, whew. You know, we always joke that we give good games. We hand off good games to Dustin Sweetelson. I think this game will have wrapped up by the time Dustin enters the studio. But it has been a fun one to watch all night long. And hopefully it's a indicator of what this week is to bring. One of the best weeks of the calendar, Matt. We have playoff games, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Hey, thanks to everyone who joined us here this evening. Joshua Nunn from the Action Network. We talked to Johnny Avello, the professor Aaron Moore, Indiana West. Tomorrow, Nate Tice. He will join us at 7:15 Eastern. For Matt Newmans, I'm Tim Murray. Will Montana State be your national champs? Dustin will tell you, top of the hour.